Before Brother Roy speaks to us, we're going to have a reading, and the reading is Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, and Brother Martin Bennett's going to read that for us, please.
The Gospel is recorded by Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 1 to 20. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel.
Thank you very much, Brother Martin, for that reading. And now we look to Brother Roy to speak to us on the subject of Legion. Thank you, Roy.
Legion. What's the story all about? Many of us have heard it many times. Okay, it's a story that we know that's perhaps just to show that Jesus' healing abilities isn't limited to physical ailments. I mean, this man had some mental illness. Probably today would it be labelled as schizophrenia or multipersonality disorder or something like that. So it shows that, doesn't it? It shows that Jesus can heal. And the record does clearly show that. But is that the only point that we meant to get from this? Okay. What is a legion? Well, a legion is a body of soldiers, isn't it? So how many? That's the sort of question the soldiers have. They have how many soldiers are in a legion? And the number is different. It depends on the time in the history, how many there were in it. The number doesn't really matter. And let's see what it says in the Bible. always the best source. Why has God chosen this man that Jesus met to tell us about? That's what we've got to think about. Is it just about the schizophrenia and the mental illness? In Mark 5, we read that he asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus asked him, "What is his name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, and we are many." So it's related to many. That's all it means. The exact number doesn't matter, because otherwise it would tell us. It just means that there's many. So we're going to use that approach to see if we can learn a little bit more than the basic story of what we're talking in Legion's about, and see if we can find any types, anything we can learn, any exhortation we can gain. And there's two passages each time, so you need to get your Bible open in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, another two passages. And I'll just read the first verse of chapter 5. "And they came over onto the other side of the sea, onto the country of the Gadarenes." And in Luke 8 verse 26 it says, "And they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee." So what are we seeing here then? Where are they? Well, they're in the area of the Gadarenes. Again, remember, there's no wasted words in Scripture. What does that word mean? I have no idea. But it's actually a reward at the end. Okay? That's what the Gadarenes means, as a reward at the end. So this story that's recorded for us, this meeting with Legion, is related to a reward at the end, perhaps. Perhaps that's what we should be seeing from it. Okay, let's move on. Luke chapter 8 and verses 27 and Mark 5 verse 2. And I'll read the bits of the verses to you. "And when he went forth to land," it says in Luke, and in Mark it says, "and when he came out of the ship." So the question is, who is in their presence? Well, it's clearly Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is in their presence, so it's clearly talking about Jesus is what we need to talk about. Okay, let's carry on with that verse a bit more then, those two verses. "They met him out of the city a certain man," and in Mark it says, "immediately there met him a man." So what does a man do when he knew that he, Christ, was present? That Jesus was in his presence. What does that man do immediately? He goes out to meet Jesus, the Christ. That's what he does as soon as he realizes that he is in the presence of Jesus. Is he looking out for him? The man makes an effort straight away. He doesn't hang around. He makes an effort straight away. Okay, let's move on again a little bit further now to the next bit. In Luke 8 it says, "Neither abode he," this man, "in any house, but in the tombs." And in Mark it says, "out of the tombs." So, where did this man come from? The man came from where the dead are. Okay, that's the point we're trying to get across here. He came from where the dead are. So here is a man with the dead, but when he knows about the presence of Christ, he's moved towards Jesus, away from the place of the dead. That's the picture we're trying to get across here. So, let's move on again in that next bit. "Which had devils," this is going on in Luke 8, "which had devils a long time and wore no clothes." And in Mark 5 it says, "with an unclean spirit." Okay. That's right. So we've got two. So, did the man have a covering? No, he was naked. That's the point, isn't it? Just like Adam and Eve after their sin. That's the point I think we're supposed to be seeing here. This man is naked, without a covering. And what sort of spirit did he have? Well, he had an unclean spirit. We know that because we've just read it. Okay. I'm not going to go into it tonight because I've done it many times before, but spirit, we come across that word, it means an attitude with a purpose. Whether it be about a man or whether it be about God. It's talking about God's attitude when it's the Holy Spirit. It's an attitude with a purpose, which is sometimes, most of the time, associated with power, but not always. But it's a purpose, it's the attitude. So we can have a holy attitude, the attitude that is one with God, or you can have a spirit that does something else. This is an attitude with a purpose. And what does unclean mean? Well, remember Peter and Cornelius, the story of the sheet with the unclean beasts in it? That's what we're talking about here. And the voice spake out again the second time, what God hath cleansed, then call not thou common. Okay? So it's something that God hasn't cleansed. And he said unto them, you know how that it is. This is Peter later on, when after the Cornelius has received the Holy Spirit and the gift, and he's going to be baptized. And he said unto them, you know that how it is an unlawful thing. No, this is before that story. This is when he's meeting with them. It is an unlawful thing that as a Jew to keep company, to come unto one other nation. But God hath showed me that it should not, that I should not call any man common or unclean. Okay, so God is saying, hang on a bit, no, this is not how it was. So there is a clean and unclean. Unclean is when you're not associated with God. But if you're going to be associated with God, then you can become unclean. So it also says in Corinthians these words, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So something that is unclean is something that isn't associated with God. So unclean is something that God has not cleansed. That's why it's unclean. And it is not holy. It's not separated to God, which is what holy means. By default, you are separated away from, but holy unto God, unto the Lord, is how it always is. Therefore, that is what is unclean, something that's separated away from God. So, an unclean spirit is an attitude with a purpose that is not in line with God's attitude and purpose. It's not one with God. So that's what we're talking about. That's what his unclean spirit is. So let's carry on with the next few verses then in Luke and Mark. Okay. This is Mark 5. And it's supposed to say verse 3 there, I think. Sorry about that. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Oh, no, sorry, I've got the wrong one. How long has he been suffering is the question on here. Okay. I don't quite know where that is, but anyway. It says, how long has he been suffering? How long had he been suffering because of his unclean spirit? He'd been suffering a long time because of his unclean spirit. That's what it said. He's been a long time suffering from this unclean spirit. And the truth is, because of our unclean spirit, we suffer and remain unclean and naked if we stay away from God. So just like Adam and Eve sinned and needed a covering, if we stay and use our unclean spirit, our unclean attitude with a purpose that isn't associated with God, then we remain unclean and naked. Now we move on to this one, sorry. Mark 5, verses 3 to 5. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And in Luke 8 we read, for oftentimes it had caught him, this is the unclean spirit, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands, and was driven by the devil into the wilderness. So, what was the result of the unclean spirit? The unclean spirit caused the man to have great strength, and no one was able to tame him. Think about us, if we want to be related to us, this is. The evil nature that we have gives us great strength to do the wrong things, and we need to be tamed. And actually, our unclean spirit can't be tamed of our own. We'll come to that later on as well. The man's attitude with a purpose, this unclean spirit, that was not man with God, meant the man was where? Where was he? Well, he was in the wilderness. We often talk about our wilderness journey. Okay, this man was lost. He was in his wilderness. Because he was got this attitude that wasn't right, that wasn't in line with God. And what also happened to this man because of this? What did the man do to himself? He self-harmed, didn't he? Our sin and sinful nature, that is not associated with God, not the correct one, causes us great harm, doesn't it? Even to the point of death. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? That's what the unclean spirit causes us. So, let's move on now to Mark 5 and verses 6. And where did I just put the glasses? Mark 5 and verses 6 and 7. But when he saw Jesus afar off, this is the man, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And in Luke 8 it says, "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" Very similar words. So what did the man do when he saw Jesus? What was the first thing he did? The man saw Jesus and he ran towards him. Urgency in him. He made an effort straight away. This is the man that was naked, unclean, and full of evil spirits. What did the man recognize that Jesus to be? He realized and confessed Jesus to be the Son of the Most High. He realized. Okay? What does the man realize that Jesus has the power to do and asks him not to do it? He realized that Jesus has got the ultimate power beyond measure that God had given him to hurt him, the authority to afflict him, to torment him, and he asks him not to do it. Okay, so God has this, Jesus has all this power to harm this man. Let's move on a little further. And obviously, the idea is that you keep thinking about this as a personal thing. We'll summarize it later on, though. Luke 8, verse 29. For he had commanded, this is Jesus, for Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Okay, and Mark 5 verse 8 said, and he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So what does Jesus command to happen? Jesus commands that the man be made clean. Remember what we read about Peter and Cornelius? Anything that I say is clean, don't say is unclean. He's saying this man's going to be clean. And this is Jesus's, in Mark 2 we read these words. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk." The point that Jesus is going to get across in all these signs is not about the healing of the person, which obviously is fantastic. It's what you're supposed to see behind it, isn't it? The man was to be made clean and no longer separated from God. Why did that happen? What had he just done? He'd confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the Most High. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This man was made clean. So, let's move on again. Mark 5, now in verse 9. And Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And Luke 8 and verse 30. And Jesus asked him his name, and there's the other passage. What does the man say his name is? Well, we all know it's Legion. What did he say the reason for his name? He was many. Well, many spirits, he was many. How many attitudes with a purpose did God and Jesus have? What is their purpose and what is their attitude? It's one, isn't it? They are one. They only have one. Our problem is that ours are all over the place. Yes, we're quite self-centered, but what I want now is not what I want next day. And I have many attitudes and purposes that aren't correct, just like this man. And the glory which thou gavest unto me, this is Jesus speaking to God, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, talking about his disciples which had been made clean, that they may be one, even as we are one. The man was many, and then he wasn't many. How does this relate to the man? Well, he was not one, was he? But had many attitudes with a purpose, and none of those were holy, and therefore they were unclean. So Mark 5, verse 10 now. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And Luke 8, verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. So it's the unclean spirits are saying these things. What did the many attitudes of the purpose that were not one with God want to happen to them? They did not want to die. They did not want to be separated from where they were. And I don't know about you, myself, Will doesn't want to die either. I don't want to be separated from them. And you ask everybody in the world about, most people in the world want to carry on doing what they want to do, and they don't want to be separated, they don't want to be destroyed. And our self-will has to be conquered. Our weak spirit, our human nature, does not want to die, does it? It doesn't want to be separated from life. Okay, let's move on then. Mark 5 and verses 11 to 13 now. And there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And it's Luke 8 verses 32 and 33. And there were there a herd of many swine feeding in the mountain, and they besought him that they would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And they went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake, and were choked. So what did the negative attitude want to happen so that they would survive? They asked if they could be turned into or go into unclean beasts. Right, so unclean beasts are those that are being separated from God or not with God. So they wanted to go with people who thought like they did, uncleanly. Does that fit in with Paul, Peter and Cornelius? Because the idea of the unclean and clean, those that God says are clean are clean. But if God doesn't say they're clean, then they're unclean. Remember what these animals were. They were pigs, weren't they? The picture is quite clear that there are some that are unclean, and they're never going to be clean because they don't want to be clean. And they asked to go into these unclean spirits. What did those that were feeding, this is the next few verses, sorry. Isn't it? Yes, it is. Mark 5, verse 14. Oh yeah, just carry on with that. I didn't realise I didn't put it on there. So what happened to the unclean beasts? They ran down quickly into the death. Okay, so they died anyway, and so did the animals. So the unclean beasts died, and they went downhill very quickly to death. So the attitude of the purpose died, as did the unclean beasts. And we'll come back to that again in a bit later, but just look at it for now. Okay, Mark 5, verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it to the city and in the country, and went out to see what it was that was done. And in Luke 8, and verse 34 and 35, we read, and when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it to the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. So, those that were feeding the unclean beasts, what did they do? Well, they fled. They ran away. And all those around them told everybody around them about how the unclean beasts. Unclean spirits, the attitude without a purpose, had died. So they were now dead. And they were told everybody about it. So the sinful nature is dead, along with those that had the attitude of the unclean in their unclean bodies. So the body of those at a permanent death who chose to have an attitude or had an attitude inside them that was unclean, that was going against God, and they were dead. That's the picture I'm trying to get across. And the world and the people around went out to see what was done. The world around there. Is that the Gentiles seeing what happened to the Jews when Jesus had died? Maybe. Think about that. Let's move on now a bit further to Mark 5 and verse 15 and 16 now. Because this is what happens then. And they come to Jesus and see him. This is the people who have been told to come and have a look. And they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And Luke 8, verses 35 and 36. And came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. What did the people come and see? The man who had these many attitudes that were against God's will, the unclean spirit, sitting calmly, content, at one with Jesus. Was the man now naked? No. Now he had a covering. He was in a single right mind now. We were witnesses to the miracle that had taken place. And we read in Acts, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Let's move on. Mark 5, verses 15 and 16. I think we've done that one, haven't we? Oh, yes, carrying on with the same idea. Who was the man? Was the man well? Okay, was that man well? Well, yes, he was, wasn't he? Because the man had many attitudes with a purpose that were not one. And what was it? It says he's healed. So he is well. And the healed word is really interesting. Because we think of healing as just being not sick anymore. And this man wasn't sick anymore, but it's far, far deeper than that. And actually, it's nearly every miracle is like this. Two words appear in for many of them, where it talks about one being healed, being repaired, and this one. And this word, which is the numbers on there, which is a Greek word, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save these people from their sins. That's the word healed here. This man wasn't just fixed from his mental illness. No, he was saved. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to us, or God's trying to get across to us in his word. And what is also really interesting, if you want to have a look at it, is the root word for right mind, healed and saved are the same. They're all incredibly linked. And the idea, therefore, is that you have to be in your right mind. And it talks about mind often in Scripture. You have to use your mind, you have to think about things to be able to be in your right mind in order to be saved. I suppose it's pretty obvious, really, isn't it? And now this man was in his right mind. And he was saved. It follows, doesn't it? Okay. Mark 5. Now I'll move on to verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted him to go away. And verse 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. So after the influence of some, the multitude wanted Jesus to go away from the area. The multitude were led by others to make Jesus go away. That's what happened, isn't it? What is that similar to with Jesus wanting him to go away? Crucify him, crucify him. The crowd wound up to get rid of him, didn't they? Because they feared what he was going to take away from them, what he could do. Mark 5, verses 18 to 20. When he was coming into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. And the Luke 8 record is, verses 38 and 39, and the man went out from whom the devils were departed. Sorry. And now the man, out of whom the devils were departed, besought him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. So what did the man who had been saved do when Jesus was departing? The saved one wanted Jesus to stay. No, he wanted to go with Jesus. Because where did he think Jesus was going, eh? And this is what it says in Acts. When the disciples are asking Jesus, they say, Lord, what though this time we saw again the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to do that. To be set. And what did Jesus say to the man that he must do instead of going with Jesus? Proclaim to as many as possible what the Lord hath done for him. Show others that you've been saved. That's what he's saying. The saved man had professed in all the local cities what the Jews, what Jesus the Christ had done for him. And the people marvelled. Shouldn't we do the same? He saved us. He's healed us. Some people will listen. Some will be marvel. Some will marvel. Luke 8 verse 40, just to finish this section. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, and they were all waiting for him. When Jesus returned, what were the people doing and how was he received? They were waiting for him and ready to gladly receive him. Does this relate to the five wise virgins and the oil in their lamps? How does it relate to how we should be when Jesus returns? Think about that. So let's just summarise those points again. We won't be reading any more scripture, but let's just summarise what we've looked at. This thing is about a reward at the end. That's what I think this is about. And it's related to Jesus being present. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them in the midst of them. That applies now. It applies when we're preaching because we're together. A man immediately moved towards Jesus and bowed before him. Somebody is looking. Seek and ye shall find. There's people out there. We should be the same. Obviously we are. We've been baptized. But there's those out there who should be doing that. The man, the legion, represents many attitudes that are not one with God. Okay. As we were before baptism. Among the dead. That's what he was, wasn't he? He was naked. He hadn't got a covering. Was in the wilderness, lost. He had attitudes that weren't same as God's. He wants us to be one like he and God are one, but we didn't, and he didn't have. Those attitudes caused him to self-harm, didn't they? Those attitudes meant he was not able to be tamed. He, nor any other man, could save Legion from his problem, could they? The man confessed that Jesus was the Son of the Most High, and as a consequence, Ellen also realized that Jesus had great power over him and could afflict him. The result of this confession was that Jesus commanded that he would be made clean. In our sinful state, what we have to confess is that Jesus is the Christ, don't we? We have to realize the state that we're in and change things. And that also realize that God has the power, Jesus has the power from God of judgment, and he will judge us all. And we should all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, realizing that he has that power over us. He will then command them that are made clean to appear righteous. We can appear righteous, we can appear clean. The attitudes that were not one with God did not want to die. And you have to keep trying to control your attitudes that aren't one with God, don't we? It's not fixed just because I got baptized. Oh no. I have to keep working at it. They wanted to go into the unclean beasts. They wanted to get away. However, the result was a quick decline to death for those attitudes and the unclean beasts. The Pharisees did not want to give in, did they, to Jesus? Oh no, they didn't want to give in. Our human nature does not want to give in. We've already talked about it. However, as part of the reward at the end, sin and sinful nature will be destroyed along with those that have the attitude in them, the unclean beasts. Those that do not want to be saved will have that attitude inside them. Those that are unclean, like the pigs. Those feeding the unclean beasts told all about that, the healing, didn't they? About the saving. The Pharisees and others told people how bad it was when Jesus saved, healed people. Those feeding the unclean beasts persuaded the people to make Jesus go away, and he did. They cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him!" I hope you can see the types. The saved man wanted to go with Jesus, but was told to stay and proclaim to as many as possible how he had been saved from his unclean spirits, his unclean attitudes. Jesus' disciples wanted to be in the kingdom with Jesus then, but he had to ascend to his Father, didn't he? And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So when Jesus returned to the land of promise, the people were waiting for him and glad he received him. That's what we read, isn't it? "Watch therefore, you know not the hour the Lord doth come." They went back, Jesus went back to the land, and they didn't know when he was coming. But they were ready and waiting for him. That's what we were told, and that's exactly how we should be. Legion was a man who Jesus met. Legion was a man realizing that he was naked. Legion was a man looking for a means to overcome his sinful nature. Legion was a man that was saved because he confessed. "Whatsoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Thank you very much indeed. I think we'll leave it there.